Okay, now that's better. Okay, seven steps to honor in the life of Joseph. And we're looking at Genesis. We're supposed to be getting our messages from the Old Testament just now. But you know, it's interesting. I don't know about your other brothers who are ministering right now. Sometimes you go and you tend to end up in the New Testament, sometimes more than the Old Testament. So it does give us some more challenge to look at it from that perspective. So today, as we look at Joseph, I'm sure Joseph has been one of our characters through the years we've heard about, through a Bible school program, through Bible studies. You've heard about the life of Joseph. And we know that in his early life, his grandparents were who? Well, let's have a little trivia this morning. Who were the grandparents of Joseph? Isaac and Rebecca. Isaac and Rebecca. And we also know that it was a son of Jacob and Rachel. And we also know that some of life's challenges came to this family. And some of the challenges were because Joseph was the unlike son of the group. No, he was a favorite. He was a favorite of the father. I don't know about you as parenting, if you ever ran into any of that in your life or not. And we know that Joseph's mother was Rachel, and we know that Rachel was served, that Jacob was there with Laban, and he was working for 7 years for Rachel, and there was a trick played on him, and he got Leah. So he had to serve another 7 years. That's 14 years of serving for Rachel. And we see that Rachel was the preferred wife also in this situation. This partiality was shown in the family. And what happened to the family setting with this partiality? How did the others respond? How do you, as children, respond when you see one of your brothers or sisters getting something that you don't get? You think that somebody's being treated unfairly? Jealousy. What?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Thank you. Jealousy. That's right.
I have four sisters.
You have four sisters. And where are you, the oldest or youngest?
Middle one.
You're the middle one. Okay, So the oldest one was getting it, and the youngest was getting it, and you were left out. Okay, but you got it when you were first born. When you were born, your family was looking at you as a newborn. Okay, anyway. So, he loved him more than all his other children, which caused challenge. He was even made a coat of special colors, as you well know the story. The brothers also saw that the father loved his brother more than others. We also see that there was a dream of exaltation. Joseph was known as what? The dreamer. He was known as a dreamer. He was telling dreams about when they were at home. And he sort of got tired of this. That he was always telling this stuff that's going to take place. Have we ever been in any of those shoes as children? I don't know. I'll have to ask my dad since he's here this morning. They disliked him telling him dreams. Then there came this time that his father wanted him to go to his brothers. And they were grazing their sheep at Shechem, and they were going to move to Dothan. And that's when all this stuff really cut loose. Here the brothers are out grazing the sheep. And they see this person coming. And I have to think, if you're a shepherd and you're out in the fields day after day, you're out there night after night, and you see somebody coming, that's pretty exciting to have somebody come to you. So here they see far away this bright coat of many colors. Somebody commented on my shirt this morning, the color of that. But I think if somebody else has brighter colors than I do this morning. But they stood out. So this guy, as he was coming, Joseph was coming, They saw him. What did they do? What did they do? They started conniving. They started trying to figure out what they're going to do. What did they do? They stripped his coat when he got there, cast him into a well. Of course, they got all the food that he brought for them, in my mind. And there they were, sitting at the top of this well, after he was thrown in, and there they were eating the things that he brought to them. There was no water in the well. The brothers sat down to eat. And one of the brothers was considering what they're going to do. He said, do not shed blood. They don't want to kill him. Because Reuben was going to come back and pull him out of the well. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he was off with the sheep at the time. And he was going to get him out and save him. But these brothers, while they were eating, they saw this company of Ishmaelites with their merchandise on their way to Egypt. They said, oh, let's not kill him. Let's not shed innocent blood. But they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. Can you imagine what that money would have been like to them? I was thinking, they had these 20 pieces of silver. What were they going to do with it? Or every time they thought of that money, do you think they thought of what they had done to Joseph? You and I have consciences. You and I know what it's like in situations, in our own personal lives and situations, let alone this. And sometimes in our lives, we carry stuff along in our conscience for a period of time and forget that the Lord provides forgiveness. Even though forgiveness may require us to do some other things. Reuben went to pull Joseph out of the well. He had compassion on him. He rent his clothes after he saw he was gone. So what did they do? They killed a lamb to put on the coat to show that he looked like it was harmed. So we see the sheep gave his life, and Jesus gave his life for lying. So they took the coat back to his father and asked him to identify it. Whose coat is this? Whose coat is it? Well, the dad knew whose coat it was, and they knew that dad knew whose coat it was for what they had connived and what they had conjured up. So Joseph's coat was identified by Father Jacob, and Jacob was very, very sad. He also rent his clothes in this whole situation. So we want to look now at these areas that that took place in Joseph's life in this foreign country. Joseph's in this foreign country. He's been picked up, taken away, taken over to Egypt, to the Pharaoh. What are the things that set Joseph apart while he lived in Egypt? Are any of those qualities something for us to emulate? Have we been emulating them in our lives in the years that we're living? First of all, I want to tell you that it's the godly influence. And I'm looking to chapter 39 of Genesis. And I'm going to read some of these verses for you. And Joseph had brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of the master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him and made him overseer over his house. All that he had, he put into his hands. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. He had godly influence in this time. God prepared him in that he probably had to do some of the meanest tasks. Can you imagine what that'd be like, coming and being bought as a slave, coming into the system there? You think they got the first thing? No, they had to climb the ladder. They had to, we would say, they had to put in their time. Or as some baseball players, you got to start out in, is it the farm league or something, or lesser league till you get up to the pros and stuff? You got to put in your time. Well, I think that Joseph had a lot of mean tasks to do. How was Joseph doing in following through and doing those mean tasks? I believe he was leaving influence, a witness to the others because of his integrity, his ingenuity, and his industriousness. And we see that a particular blessing from heaven attended him. We see as he grew in his employ, he became more discerning. He discerned more and more as he went on. And he was able to move from place to place, from station to station. Joseph's brothers stripped him of his coat, but could not strip him of his virtues or his prudence. He was separated from his brethren, but not from God. I'm reminded of our Nigerian brothers and sisters, or the persecuted church, wherever that may be today, and the stories that we've heard from the Nigerian brothers and sisters, how that through all that they've gone through and experiencing, God is with them through that. It's not an easy time when you lose loved ones, when those are taken out of your life. But we see that God was with Joseph, and also the testimonies coming from our Nigerian brothers and sisters, we see that God is with them through all this time. Yes, banished from the father's house, but the Lord was with him and comforted him. He was loyal, and he had allegiance to Jesus, to God. Secondly, his business fidelity in 39, 5, and 6, his master Potiphar promoted him step by step. It's a wisdom of anyone in authority to employ those that appears to have the presence of God. People observe. People in management observe and see the qualities that take place in a person's life. They see the people that are coming to work 5 or 6 or 7 minutes before time. They see those who are coming 10 or 15 minutes after time. And those things don't always blend too well on the one side of the clock. They also see those who are willing to follow through at other times and complete the task. In Psalm 101, it says, 101:6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He hath walked in a perfect way, and he shall serve me. Potiphar knew that he was being blessed because of the truth, integrity, and wisdom. God favored Potiphar's house. Why? Because of Joseph. I have a question for you this morning. Are other people being blessed by you because of you knowing the Lord, of you serving the Lord, the way you serve the Lord? Are other people being influenced? Is your influence going out like when you take a rock and throw it out in the middle of a pond and you see the ripples go out, the influence going out, the witness going out? What is your life being like in that? The house, the Egyptian house, was blessed even though he was a stranger to the true God. Good men are the blessing of the places where they live. And I'm using that word as everybody, men and women, boys and girls, you're a blessing in the places where you live. Three is resist temptation. Resist temptation. Potiphar had put Joseph in charge of his whole house, except his wife and the bread that he was eating, it says. So we see This is a situation where Joseph was going about doing his duties as he was supposed to. And then we see temptation of Potiphar's wife coming into play. Most shameful instance of imprudence, of immodesty here of Joseph's mistress that was there. The shame and the scandal was the problem here as he was going in to do his work, whatever he needed to do, and she cast her eyes on him. Joseph, being a goodly person and well-favored, he had made a covenant with his eyes, a covenant with his feet. But we see that she was daring and shameless in her sin. She was urgent and violent in temptation. She spoke day by day to him. And the great temptation came to Joseph. Joseph has these three arguments with himself, I believe. One, and it's probably things that we also could use. He considers who he was that was tempted. Others may perhaps take this liberty, but I cannot. What the sin was, secondly, what the sin was to which he was tempted. This great wickedness, not just a trick of youth, but let sin appear sin and call it by its name and not to lessen it any. Romans 7:13. Thirdly, against whom was he tempted to sin? Against God, against nature, his dominion, his love, his design. Those who love God do hate sin. Be steadfast and of resolution. The grace of God enabled him to overcome the temptation. He was there. He left, avoiding the tempter. He would not stay to have some discussion about this whole situation, but he fled, leaving his garment, fleeing for his life. He used his feet and his head to move out, to get away, not taking time to have a conversation. Better to lose a good garment than a good conscience. We also see, fourthly, that Joseph had divine favor. That's in Genesis 39:21. Potiphar's wife was unable to convince Joseph to lie with her. Now, here she has this coat. She could have threw the coat away, but she says she'll keep it. And then she has to make up a story. She has to scheme about what was taking place, how this Hebrew servant came in and mocked her. And Pharaoh believed the story. What do you think that was like for Pharaoh? I think it was one of these times he was between a rock and a hard place. He had his wife to listen to, but he also had put his trust in Joseph to take care of everything. And yet this takes place. The other thing is, in most situations, there would have been no question Joseph would have died. In any other situation, he would have died. But I believe there again, we see divine favor coming into play. Even though, the Pharaoh believed the story and had him put in the king's prison, which is the worst kind of prison. But it wasn't long until he was in prison. What did he do? He found favor there. He found favor in the prison. And the keeper of the prison made him become a little ruler. And they saw his witness there. So I was curious, if he made him a little ruler, what was the other guy doing? If Joseph was taking care of most everything, but he was still the face for the prison keepers. The keeper saw God was with him. Joseph was in charge of all that happened, the divine favor taking place. Fifth, providential circumstances, Genesis 45:8. Providential circumstances. We had a baker and a butler come into the situation. And these kings could be insulted very quickly. We can see that happen in government today, in leadership and things. If somebody doesn't like it, the leader, they just sort of get rid of them pretty quickly. If they don't talk the way they want, they just move them on. But in this case, the baker and the butler offended Pharaoh and were put in prison. The captain of the guard charged Joseph to keep them and to serve them. To keep them and to serve them. And then they come and they, of course, where are they going to go? Nowhere. So they have plenty of time to converse together. So they tell him what went on, that they were put away. So there's a dream. And they say, we have nobody to interpret it. But Joseph says, the interpretations belong to God. Tell them, I pray you. And the butler story was about 3 days. I'm not going into it. But in 3 days, he'll be restored. And the baker, he will be hanged, and the birds will eat his flesh. After he told him these dreams, Joseph says, could you think about me when things are going well with you? You know, when you get back to the Pharaoh, could you please tell him that I'm down here yet? I'd like to get out of here too. Well, we see that providential circumstances. Then sixthly, we see them honoring God. The butler and the baker forgot Joseph. Pharaoh then dreamed and had a dream that no one could interpret. Then the light bulb came on in the butler. Hey, yeah, there's a guy down there in the prison. Yeah, down that dark hole, you know, where the bats and the rats and everything else are running around and stuff. And it's not very nice. It's dingy and dark and damp. Oh, yeah. I remember my fault this day. Yeah, there was a fellow in the prison. So they brought Joseph up. Well, you can't bring somebody right out of the prison and bring them before the Pharaoh. They got to clean them up before he would come up. My question is, do we have some times when we forget to send a thank you note or to visit someone or give a word of encouragement? We say, oh, yeah, I should send that person a card. Oh, yeah, I should thank that person for what they did. I think we have some of those times. So they washed him up, cleaned him up, got him up. You know what? It sounds like a new life in Jesus Christ, doesn't it? He was brought out of prison. New life in Christ. And then Pharaoh says to him, I understand you interpret dreams. And I like this. Joseph said, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And we see Joseph's humility. Joseph's humility. How easily it would have been to say, oh, yeah, I can answer that dream. But we see his humility. We see his dependence. We see his dependence on God as well as depending on God's wisdom. Seventh is the divine revelation, and that's from Genesis 41, 25 through 36. The dream of Pharaoh is that God has showed Pharaoh what he's going to do. How about that? So now we have Pharaoh telling the dream to Joseph and goes through that whole litany. And then he says in verse 33, now therefore let us search out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land in the 7 plenteous years, lay up food in the cities. The thing was good in Pharaoh's eyes as he heard Joseph tell this. So what did he do? They're looking for a person. Pharaoh says, well, I believe we have the person. I believe we have the person right here in you. Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house. According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Pharaoh put a ring on Joseph's finger, fine clothes, chain on his neck, and he was going to ride in chariot number two. They went through Egypt crying, "Lo the knee," because he is the ruler. And his name also got changed to Saphini. I have a problem with that one. Anyway, he was 30 years old at the time. 30 years old. Think about that. God was with him as he came through this. Just to think how Joseph went through these steps in his life, how he continued to serve God. My question, what steps are you going through today? Are you going through step number one, two, three, or what other steps are you facing in your life? And then Joseph. With a Christ-like spirit, shows through again in forgiving his brothers their sin. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. That must have been quite a reunion time. But it was also a challenge, I believe, for Joseph when they were coming for the grain and he saw them. And it says it too. That was hard. But he talked to them roughly, as it says. We also see his devotion relating that to a son or daughter. And after all this took place, Joseph made ready his chariot and went to meet his father in Goshen, presented himself unto him. What a reunion. And a father who thought there would never be a reunion again. Never be a reunion again. Jesus is calling us. He wants to have fellowship in our lives. He wants us to come. We were singing songs this morning about from the inside out. From the inside out. Yes, call upon Jesus and he'll clean us up. From the inside out, he'll show us the way as we desire to honor him. We see also that Joseph, returning good for evil, Joseph said, "Fear not, for I am in the place of God. For I am in the place of God." Through all that took place, he says, "I am the place where God wanted him." And we know the story from there, how that whole family, because they had food in Egypt, came and lived there and grew and prospered. And we know the rest of the story also. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this day recognizing that you are the God of the universe. You're the God of the Bible. You're the God of the stories. You're the God of forgiveness. I just pray, Father, that you would continue to lead us in your paths for your honor and glory. Lead us so that we might show forth your praise and leave a witness for you, Lord, as we walk and talk from day to day. I just pray now a blessing upon each one here. I pray for your love to overshadow and guide. And thank you, Lord, for being with us. In Jesus' name, amen.